wishing on a star and trying to believe that even though it's far, he'll find me Christmas Eve. I guess that Santa's busy, 'cause he's never come around. I think of him when Christmas comes to town. The best time of the year, when everyone comes home. With all this Christmas cheer, it's hard to be alone.
It is 8:38. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Dove Sachs and I are solving all the problems of the world during the break. Dee Dee Richardson's in the house along with Dove. It's Christmas time, playing a little Christmas music from the Polar Express. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. There's no doubt about it. My kids loved it.
Beautiful.
And have you ever taken your kids down to the Polar Express and on the waterfront?
Many years.
Oh, it's so fun.
There's
a video. We were invited to go on it by the AARP, and our whole family went, and they gave us elf hats from TD Bank, and which we bank at, and so I'm a big ho 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 guy. So there's a video that makes the rounds every Christmas, which is sort of funny, but I'm standing on the train going ho ho ho. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize somebody filmed it.
Oh, that's
I do it all the time, you know? I mean, I'm a happy, jolly guy. Why wouldn't I be? And ho, ho, ho is one of my favorite things to say.
There you go. That's great.
Let's, the phones have been ringing all morning. They were ringing when I walked in the door.
Oh,
I've ignored them.
The country's excited.
Yeah, well, they are excited. Why shouldn't they be? There's optimism. You know, Trump, yesterday I saw a poll that showed Trump's approval rating at 62%. Honestly, even for his most ardent supporter, who would have thought that because of the opposition to him and the manner in which they oppose him?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that? But the country is recognizing real changes may be possible here, particularly with the people he's appointing who are coming in as real reformers, which is why the opposition by the media and the political class is so strong to them.
It's, you know, last time we met, I think that same type of poll was at 59.
Yes,
and we
it
talked
was.
About
yeah.
how it's just going to creep up as more and more people are going to see the benefits.
I think that that's the key. You know, when you bring in somebody like a Kash Patel as an example, everybody knows he's going to go in there and shake the foundations of the FBI, which deserve to be shaken. They deserve, the leadership foundations deserve to be shaken. And that's why the media and that's why the political class on both sides are struggling with him, because they're afraid of what would come out when the foundation gets shaken.
You know, I was listening to a discussion of Herbert Hoover, who I didn't realize was the head of the FBI, I think from...
J. Edgar Hoover, not Herbert. Herbert was the president.
Oh, excuse me, J. Edgar. Yeah. Of course.
I think 50 it was, years.
I don't think quite 50 that he was head of the FBI.
1921 to 1972 when he died.
Yeah, yeah. I think he became head of the FBI in the 30s, though.
Well, he was the leader of it. They didn't have, like, the director of the FBI. That was not a formal position. He was the leader of it.
Okay, okay. Could have the audience fact check us on that. We got the...
Dee, fact check me, please.
How long
1921
was...
1921 to 1972.
I say 1934 to
72. Herbert, J. Edgar Hoover. 1921 to 1972.
Not,
fact check me,
not
please.
Herbert.
No, not Herbert. He was the president. J. Edgar. J. Edgar. J. Edgar. So, or Edgar, as they called him.
So he was in charge of the U.S., you know, secret police, effectively, for 4 decades plus. And that's where the and you know what's interesting that I heard pointed out?
It says he founded the FBI in June of 1935, where he remained as director for an additional 37 years.
There we go.
Where does 1921 come from? There's a 1921 plays a role.
Well, because it looks like he was doing something, and then it became the FBI.
Hey, it was probably a different name or something, but the point is this: he was known for trafficking in leverage over the elected officials.
Right.
He was in charge of that for so many presidents. If you think about it, he started in FDR.
It was called the Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it became the FBI.
So you were right. You were right. We'll give it to you.
Are you surprised? Lily, I know things.
But the point, the takeaway is that his name is on the building still.
Right.
There hasn't been
a
reckoning of what everyone knows who's read about J. Edgar Hoover.
Even Planned Parenthood has pulled Margaret Sanger's name down.
You know, I went to high school with her grandson, Patrick, and I didn't, before I knew anything about Margaret Sanger, looked just like her. He's incredible. Really nice guy. But, yeah, it's funny how he looks just like her.
Did he believe in eugenics?
You know, we never discussed it.
But my only point is, even Planned Parenthood has had a reckoning with Margaret Sanger and her origins,
yeah,
and how she talked about black people were weeds in the garden, and how she went to KKK rallies and those kinds of things, and how she was instrumental in abortion clinics being largely placed in black communities, something that no one really thought about or ever talked about, but it's all, even they've had a reckoning, but there's been no reckoning for J. Edgar Hoover.
Right. And so, it's meaningful that the clip of Kash Patel that's circulating is in an interview where he said, on day one, the first thing I'm doing is shutting down the Hoover building and sending the cops out into the field to be cops and get after it. And for Trump to appoint him, I was saying before that the only indispensable pick is RFK, because everyone else, like we saw with Gates, was quickly replaced with another great pick, and it's like on we go. But RFK is a truly unique, you know, expert who's going to do what he's going to do. But now Kash Patel might be similar, not because of the expertise, but because of his perspective, mm-hmm, and how strong-willed he is. He might similarly be.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I said 2 weeks before he got nominated, Trump was going to name him because it was so critical for what Trump's trying to do. You know, you could not have the FBI at loggerheads with what the president's attempting to do. What people don't understand, and you know, you have all these groups out there that are just peeing their pants out of fear. Trump's not going after any of these groups. It's nonsense. Does he want to stop little children from being transgendered? Yes. Let them become transgendered as adults if that's truly what they believe in their heart they should be. But don't do it to children. Don't allow it to happen to children. Trump is not going after groups, but he does not believe that men should be in the women's locker room on the field of athletics or in the girls' bathroom. He doesn't believe those things. Neither do most Americans, because it's not proper. Are being abused here.
But what's going on with the FBI, though, more is about what Jim Comey represented.
Sure.
And Peter Strzok.
Absolutely.
And what came out recently.
Andrew McCabe.
Comey put honeypots in his campaign before the whole scandal that came to light. Remember, he admitted, they were new, and I just sent over a couple of FBI agents to go poke around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we saw it with the press conference he held before the election. Comey was really playing way out over his skis for what you want from a secret police. And now a lot of it's come to light, and anyone associated with it, Trump is going to want out. And there are a lot of people associated with it. So what a difficult job to go in there and really figure out who needs to go and who can stay and how to handle it. It's really difficult.
And part of the problem we face here is that members of the United States Senate, who know better, Dick Durbin being one, the senator out of Illinois, has come out to say Trump lacks the authority to replace Christopher Wray. He fired James Comey. It's a 10-year term. It doesn't say that the president can't dismiss the individual. Of course the president can do that. And he did that with Comey. It wasn't illegal. He's going to do that with Christopher Wray, who was his own appointment, because Christopher Wray has turned out to be like James Comey and a long line of other FBI directors. They have not been worthy of the position they hold. There are 31,000 wonderful, courageous, patriotic FBI agents in this country who every single day seek to protect this country. And they are led by people unworthy of the job they hold. Trump's looking for someone like Kash Patel to come in and really wreck the foundation of the leadership here, which has become bankrupt. It's corrupt.
The problem is, when you orchestrate coordinated lawfare like it seems they did, the police force for all of those operations is the FBI. They're the ones who did the Mar-a-Lago raid and went through Melania's underwear drawer and were trying to put, Trump in jail for 700 years. And the election didn't go their way. And as the saying goes, when you shoot for the king, you shoot the king, you best not miss.
Goes to the victor goes the spoils. And Trump now is in the authoritative position to replace Christopher Wray, who replaced James Comey. They were two peas of the same pod, with someone like a Kash Patel, who is reform-minded. I don't know him personally, but I have studied this guy for a long time. He was part of Trump's administration previously. This is a guy who was a no-nonsense person. That's who you need. And again, Trump cannot accomplish the reforms he's seeking to place on the federal government if the FBI is an adversary in this effort.
The most interesting angle for me is that Trump and Doge and the folks he is picking seem to be very serious about changing the dynamic of the military-industrial complex. And that brings out the fiercest bipartisan opposition. And so you kind of are seeing this, and they're bulwark is the Republican Senate, and you're seeing these senators who are remaining anonymous kind of fighting that fight. And so that's what this really represents. Same with Big Pharma and RFK, and they're wielding the influence that they have. But Trump, like you said, he ran on it.
Yeah,
he won big. The popularity is growing. Everyone can see that he's grown as an individual.
There's no question.
His temperament has moderated in its tone. And
do you know what's interesting about what you just said?
Yep.
So on Thanksgiving,
yep,
he put on Truth Social, and it was a typical post of Trump from the old days. And I don't remember exactly, but it was like libtards and wackadoodles and what have you. And what was interesting about it is that it was outside of who he's been the last 4 or 5 months. So it stood out. Whereas in the past, it would have just been seen as, well, that's Trump. And I thought that was a very interesting moment that he did a little of the old day stuff. And it really stood out like a sore thumb, as opposed to being typical.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift.
And I think By the way, I was laughing. I knew you could see me. Mark Riley, so funny. He says, because I had said, I like to say ho, ho, ho. And he says, Hunter Biden apparently liked to say ho, ho, ho as well.
Hey, just a mess.
That's great. I said we were going to take a call. It's 849. You're on the LenLibby.com listener line. Good morning.
Boy, Ray, how are you?
Good.
Hey, what's up with Biden going around giving out a few trillion more dollars so they can build a railway that they can't even finish in this country?
Yeah, it's so bizarre what's happening here. It's hard to believe. It really is.
What are they going to do besides letting all the rebels over there steal all the materials?
I don't know. I mean, as you know, he was in Angola earlier this week giving out $1 billion to the continent of Africa, and yet there are people in North Carolina who still have not even had a touch yet from FEMA, much less help.
Yeah, but you know, when he was riding the railways over there in Africa, when he's a child, that was his dream, to go back and finish
it. I know, it was extraordinary. And you know what was really important was when he was in Africa riding those rails, he went through the Alps, and he got to see the snow-covered caps of the Alps, and it inspired him.
He told that silly Amtrak story to the Angolan audience.
He's just so bizarre. He's so bizarre. He has been so... You know, the thing about it is, for most people, they have just awakened to Joe Biden's bizarre nature over the last 4 years. But I've watched this guy ever since I really got involved in politics. This is a guy that has done the same silliness his entire adult life in public.
In 1987, he had to drop out of the 88 presidential race because he got busted for...
plagiarism.
He just plagiarized the British politician's speech about how the British politician was saying how his wife had been the first to go to college and just ripped it off.
Of it was almost word-for-word stuff that he was saying, so you know he memorized it.
But then
of course, that was the year that he borked Robert Bork, the borking of America.
But the lying piece that really... epitomizes it is there's a clip when he's in a gaggle of reporters in the 80s. I think it was that same campaign, and a reporter challenges him, and then he quickly says, like, I bet you I have a higher IQ than you, and he goes on this rant about all of these accomplishments, first in my class in this, top of this, to double a degree in this, and I'll put my IQ against yours. It was like just so exact. And then all the things that he had said.
He claimed he had 3 degrees. That he needed 120 credits to graduate, but he had 160. He claimed that he was top 5 in his class. He was actually bottom 5. He claimed that he went to a historically black college. He claimed that he was given a full scholarship, unlike anyone else had been given in the past, none of which was true. And I have the clip of Connie Chung going through all of these things and saying Joe Biden has once again been caught for telling a lie.
Look, they
so crazy.
They have 21 shell companies, the Bidens.
What do they make and what service do they provide? Do you know?
But 21
shell
companies.
Hey, this is Scott, right?
Yeah.
You're a guy that makes things. I mean, if you had 21 shell companies, you'd be making stuff and selling it in those shell companies, right? I mean, or at least providing a service, but...
Isn't that valuable?
What's that?
He's selling influence. Isn't that valuable?
Well, it is incredibly valuable, apparently, because they're multimillionaires, and they're among the most mediocre people I've ever witnessed.
Joe was just calling in to talk the weather. Remember that one?
Mm.
Just calling into the business meetings to check in on the weather. Hunter will put him on speaker. Hey, Pop. How's everyone doing?
You remember the meeting that was held, and I can't think of the restaurant's name, it's Colangelo's or something like that, and they swore up and down that Joe Biden was never there, that it was all a lie, it was made up by Republicans, and then there's photographic proof of him sitting at the table having lunch with Hunter and his business partners, and so the story changed immediately from, well, the truth is he just dropped by to say hello, to see my friends, that's all it was about. It went from, he was never there, you're making it up, this is... Republican conspiracy to, well, he just dropped by because he knew I was in town and wanted to say hello to my friends. Just all of it. So, you know, the thing about it was, you know what bugs me the most about it is I don't even care. If you're a politician, I expect you to lie. I expect politicians to lie. It's just that the public cared about lying when Trump was president. The Washington Post ran a lie meter on the front page. But when Joe Biden became president, no one in the country seemed to care about lying anymore. It's just so bizarre to me.
You know, the Chinese, after Biden took office, were openly talking about how they had control over the administration.
Yeah.
So stuff is very, very deep, potentially. And a lot of it, you know, one thing that hasn't happened yet at all, and that will happen very quickly, and it's something that Kash Patel's spoken a lot about, RFK's spoken a lot about,
right,
which is releasing files transparency. And Kash Patel says he's a big advocate of the classification system, but it's being abused, and about half of it just needs to be released immediately.
I was watching an interview the other day with Kash Patel's from several years ago, and this guy was saying, I don't believe the CIA was involved in the Kennedy assassination. And Kash looked at him and said, you're looking at a guy who has read every single word of the Kennedy files. That's all he said. He didn't say anything else.
Mm.
So, hey, Scott, give me a call when you can, because I have somebody who may have a project for you.
All right, sir. I will do that.
I appreciate it.
Hey, Scott.
Always good to hear from you. We got to run.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured due to someone else's negligent or dangerous conduct? Then you can't afford not to call Independence Law Maine, Maine's most skilled personal injury law firm, at 241-9717, 241-9717. I'm Dove Sachs, founder of Independence Law Maine, where we understand that the worst part of a serious injury, whether from a car accident or a botched surgery, is the loss of your financial, physical, and emotional independence, the need to rely on others for basic